Welcome, everybody, to the Disruptive Minds Business Podcast. I'm your host, Tevia Holst, CEO of Takota Accounting. Today's guest is Shane Glavin of The Power CFO. Welcome, Shane.
Hi, thank you for having me. This is exciting.
Yes, I always love when I get to talk to somebody else in the finance industry. I think we're going to have some fun topics to go over that our listeners, our other owners out there will gain a lot from. So tell us a little bit first before we jump in. I always like to start. Obviously, the podcast is named Disruptive Minds. So first question is always around that. What do you do that's different in your firm or in your mindset that you find disruptive, or what are you looking to do to be disruptive?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question. I feel too often in today's world, there's so many individuals out there that say they're really a strategic partner, and maybe they just don't know what strategic really means. But they're not, unfortunately. And because of that, you have so many small, mid-sized companies, these business owners out there that they truly, they don't know how to spend their money on the right group to help, because everyone uses that word strategic. But when you go as a business owner and you invest in a strategy and you don't get it, you start kind of getting a little bit nervous about how to, you know, what, how do you get true help? And so to answer your question, I took the approach, and I'd like to think more and more business owners are doing this. And that is, I want to be a strategic partner. And so although we say that we're here to provide the outsourcing or fractional CFO expertise, controllership and bookkeeping, if and when that makes sense, really, the focus is, how do we roll up our sleeves and help the business owner? How can we be that true right-hand person for that business owner? And doesn't always mean finance and accounting. How many different hats, for example, do you sometimes have to wear if you really want to help a client? Some days it's operations, some days marketing, some days it could be engineering, you name it. You have to be able to roll up your sleeves, wear whatever hat that you need to wear in order to truly be a strategic partner.
Interesting.
That's our differential.
Okay. All right. So it sounds like you guys are obviously willing to be adaptable, get the job done, you know, and really wanting to provide that value. So I agree that owners sometimes, you know, there's a misstep in outsourcing or getting help, and that can shy them away from someone else. But I think what it takes is just, you know, the takeaway from this here, guys, is, you know, make sure your partners are really delivering, because if they are not, there is someone else that will. There are firms that truly do care. It does take a little bit of time, you know, to find them, but we're here, both of us, you know, we're willing to help. So some good takeaways there. All right. So tell us a little bit about the company, your background, and why finance? Like, what brought you here? You know, what do you love about what you're doing?
Yeah, you know, great question. So how did I get to Power CFO? It's an amazing question, because sometimes the best things in life happen by accident. So many years ago, I guess about 4.5, 5 years ago, I left big corporate. I was the chief financial officer at Labor Max Staffing, simply amazing staffing firm. In my heart of hearts, I felt I wanted to do different. I wanted to really help small, mid-sized companies. Most of my career, I worked with the bigger, larger companies out there. And I always, it was so easy to see the small and mid-sized companies were suffering, but they didn't know how, what that help would look like. And so when I left LaborMax, I really had that desire to really help small and mid-sized companies. Now, to be really clear, when I started Power CFO, I thought I was just going to do this kind of solo, okay? But as time grew, I noticed more and more small and mid-sized companies were coming to me saying, we really need help. And I could tell they were sincere. They really needed help. So I started expanding and but carefully, I wanted to find what I consider power CFOs, individuals that had both an entrepreneurial mindset as well as that finance and accounting expertise. So it was a little bit deliberate, slow per se, but I wanted to make sure that we were creating raving fans out of our client base versus just getting a check.
Sure.
And so that's kind of, you know, we've been very fortunate, very blessed. Power CFO, we doubled in size every year over the last 4 years. And that is, I think, because there are so many small mid-sized companies out there that want help. They need help. And I think if you role model your intent is really to help, I think people see it. They True. See through it. And they gravitate towards you. And so that's so that kind of answers how I got here with Power CFO. But when it comes to why finance and accounting, I've always been a geek. I'm telling you, I remember, you know, all the way back to eighth grade, I remember Miss Rackers. She was asking out loud to the whole class, what's like 2.418 times 3.64, whatever. And I was able to answer it just like that, to the point where other kids in the class were turning around saying, he's cheating. He has to be using a calculator. And she smiled and she goes, he's not. He's doing it all in his head. So it's one of those things where I think you're either a big dork or you're not. And I was blessed to be a big dork when it comes to finance and accounting. And so when, you know, that kind of takes you through school and stuff like that. But, you know, a lot of the individuals don't realize, you know, in order to be successful, you don't have to go to college right away. I didn't start my undergrad till I was 23 years old. Mm. I had to live life a little bit and I had to mentally be ready.
Yeah, there's some really maturing that needs to happen. Yeah. For sure.
Absolutely. So my 20s all the way to my early 30s, it was so much a blur because I worked so much, school full time, but it was a sacrifice that paid off because now I'm equipped to work with small, mid-sized companies and help them out. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is the thing too, is I would say 75% of our clients, they don't have college degrees. Hmm. They got to where they're at because of hustle.
Sure.
And I understand that because I had to hustle too. Nothing was handed to me. And so we thrive in working with these business owners that are just so focused on delivering, and they have that win mentality. Mm-hmm. Because that's kind of our background as well.
Yeah, I would say it makes a big difference when you come up through business and you own your own business. You know, getting services from someone as an owner is one thing, but when you work with someone who is also an owner, that's a different mentality than, you know, a W-2 employee who might be able to give professional services at a great level, but they're not also bringing an owner mentality. And that is a dynamic that I have seen when I get services that I look for, because, you know, I want to know that you're thinking about it the way that I'm going to think about it and that you care about what I care about, you know, so that I think that really goes a long way, you know, with services. So.
And it truly does. As a business, you hit it on the head. If you're just kind of a W-2 employee, often you don't think when it comes to when you're investing money, you think you're kind of checking the box. Well, I'm supposed to do this, so I'm doing da-da-da, whatever. As a business owner, you know there's a scarcity mindset with the funds that you have. Mm. And when you're going to invest that, you think about what is that true return on investment? Mm-hmm. And that is so important to be able to have that mindset. And if our clients don't have that, we talk to them about that. So for example, I don't want to make this too much just about Power CFO, but there's a reason why before we bring on a CFO client,
yeah,
we do a whiteboarding or strategy session. I know it's old school, but we do that because we want to better understand their unique DNA of their company. No two companies are alike. So what is that DNA? Two, when you think about strategy for them, how are you going to be able to help them with strategy? How are you going to help them? Because when I hear strategy, I think of ROI. How can we really align on what is strategic to that company? What is that ROI to that company? If you're not understanding the DNA. So it's all about slowing down and looking at them as a true individual, not a number.
Sure.
And so putting that together, we call it the gospel. We put that work order together, that agreement, so they know exactly what they're going to get, how to measure that ROI on it, and how is it going to fit into their 2025 business plan. Ultimately, that's the keys. How are they going to deliver their 2025 business plan?
So that's actually a great segue into something I wanted to get to for our owner listeners, which is, you know, when you're working with your clients, what is ideal for a client? Meaning when I'm an owner, what's the turning point where I know I'm ready for you, for a CFO, for your services? You know, what is that size of company or what are your check boxes that, yes, you're ready, you know, for what we have? And then additionally, when they clear that, you know, and they know they're ready for that, what are you looking for as an owner from a CFO, you know, like your competitors? If you were like, well, you're not getting everything you could, you know, look at what we're doing, kind of what are you providing when people come to you as well?
You know, that's a great question. You know, the first and foremost, let's talk about who we believe are the right fits for Power CFO when it comes to these business owners. The first and foremost is you want a business owner that is mentally in the right place to say, yes, I want help.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
The second thing, clearly they have to be able to afford the services. So after you kind of peel that off, it doesn't matter. We've had companies 40, 50 million in size, either the owner wasn't receptive of wanting to really have a strategic partner.
Sure.
Two, they didn't want to spend the money, so they weren't a good fit. But then again, we can have a client that has 3 to 5 million in revenue. The client, the owner's looking and saying, yes, I need a strategic partner. Let's get this going. And I will find a way to afford this because it's, you know, I was always raised with the mentality, faith isn't where you're at, it's where you're going. So finding these business owners that say, we might be at 3 to 5 million in revenue right now, but by having the right strategic partner, 3 years, 4 years, I think we could be at 30 to 40 million.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that ROI if you're getting a strategic partner that can quickly get in there and help you grow your business? The other thing is, you know, some of the added value that I think all fractional CFOs should do, there's two things really. The first is when we have that whiteboarding or strategy session, we need to outline what is tactical type work and strategic type work. The reason for that is when it comes to strategy, it's more expensive and they should be expecting a return on investment on that. If you can't put an ROI on that, then it's tactical. And the cost of that kind of work is about a half the price of strategic. And tactical typically isn't CFO. And so we've often told clients, listen, we're not going to just take your money to take your money.
Yeah.
What you're needing after this session we had, it's more tactical. And we don't want to charge you strategic rates for tactical work. To me, I feel like I'm stealing from a client. So often I'll redirect them to either maybe our controllership plus package we have, or refer them someone to like you or whatever the case is, because I can't, if I really am going to live and breathe wanting to be a strategic partner, I can't take tactical work and charge strategic rates. I just can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say that's one of the major differences that I think I would caution individuals. I'm confident 75% of what they're paying a fractional CFO for is really controllership work. So they're paying way too much.
So knowing, you know, knowing what it is you need and who it is should be delivering that is really important. So let's back up a little bit. The client does need strategic work. They are the right size, you know, where they should be asking for CFO work. You know, what should they be expecting? What is it that, you know, you would expect yourself or a CFO of a company to be delivering for a small business regularly?
Yeah, it's a great question. So again, each company's DNA is a little bit different.
Of course.
So when it comes to what type of strategic work or CFO work that they're going to need, okay, the first thing, again, it starts with the whiteboarding or, you know, strategic session. We have to be able to outline what they believe is important, not what we just think is important. Okay. Too often, what we see is cookie cutter fractional CFO work. And you have this fractional CFO doing all this work. The client gets it and they say, what am I supposed to do with this? This wasn't important to me. So again, understanding what is important to that client, their individual DNA is critically important. Have them sign off on it, understanding what the ROI is. But typically, what we find is so many business owners, they're not getting timely, accurate monthly financials. When they do get them, they don't understand them. So they don't have that storyteller really sitting down with them, explaining to them the different trend analysis, all this goodness, in-depth review. You need to understand the health of your business. The other thing is, surprisingly, so many business owners out there, they don't even know their cash position. They're literally flying blind when it comes to their cash flow. If that is the case, you are operating at a strategic disadvantage versus your competition. So just putting in place, again, timely, accurate, in-depth monthly financials, having a great cash flow model, 13-week cash flow model, is going to instantly help you out. The other thing is if you're waiting, again, 6 weeks for an in-depth financial review before you understand what the true health of your business is, you're gonna have some hardship. So what are those key performance indices, that those KPIs that you can look at every week, track those every week, so you're not waiting 6 weeks, you're getting a weekly snapshot of what is important and how are you tracking as a company? That way you can quickly make any kind of changes that you need to immediately versus waiting 6 to 8 weeks down the road. How much money will you have lost if that's the case? So I think getting that weekly snapshot is so critically important. The other thing is, and I think this is often missed. Before we start an engagement, we do a health assessment. And that's where we look at the last 3 years of tax returns. We look at the last 3 years of financials. Why do we take this? It doesn't take a whole lot of time, but why do we do this? Because we always find errors. So some great examples I can share with you is from a tax standpoint. We, two amazing situations, but it happens more than you realize, where you see it, I'm sure, but business owners don't realize that not all tax preparers are created equal.
Oh, no.
Okay. And they miss things often. So one of our clients, in doing this health assessment on their tax returns, we found out that, well, last year they purchased over $1.5 million in new equipment, but they were also leasing other equipment, and their tax preparer did not realize that they could write off both the equipment leasing expense and write off, you know, that depreciation on all those. So long story short, they overpaid by $700,000 in taxes last year alone because they didn't take advantage of all that depreciation.
Oh, man.
So were they happy that we identified that? Yes.
And there was a little bit of ROI there. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Another amazing situation. We had a client. We have a client in Los Angeles. Their bookkeeper, when they were doing the monthly books, instead of when they're reconciling the cash account, their bank account, they're instead of reconciling to the balance sheet, for some reason they were reconciling against revenue. So the revenue was double counted, over $1 million in additional revenue. Their tax burden, they overpaid by $500,000 in taxes, had no idea. So both those instances, we were able to go back, do amended tax returns and get that money. But if we wouldn't have done that initial assessment, they would have had no idea.
Of course.
They would have left that money totally on the table. So slowing down, I even have a yellow stickum on my monitor from 4 years ago that says slow down. And so that's a reminder, not just to me really, but when I talk to prospects, when I talk to clients, slow down. Ask them to slow down. Sometimes you can go way too fast and you miss a lot of the amazing opportunities.
Yeah. Well, and I think a great takeaway to that too, just for our listeners as well, is, you know, another set of eyes that is aware of finance and what things should look like, how things should run, is so pivotal for a business. You know, please don't do business as an individual, you know, and don't hide and think you can do it all alone, or you should, because even if you know what you should be looking for, like this mistake in the revenue that you exemplified here, you know, maybe you miss it because you're busy. And it's not always a knowledge gap. Sometimes it's a time gap. It's an effort gap. So having someone else to kind of double check and just make sure all your eggs are in a good basket, you know, that's just so pivotal to your business and your success. So I love those examples. Thank you for sharing those. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, our finance industry that we live in, and what are some things that you find challenging, you know, for yourself as an owner or for owners that come to you? Are there, I don't know, I'm thinking of roadblocks, you know, things that get in people's way to success, or what have you seen? Well, I mean, you're in the industry, so probably not as much for you, but what do you see get in the way of owners that they should kind of look out for?
I would say often the number one issue I see with a business owner is they're typically the single point of failure in their business. Often they're trying to do way too much. They're working in the business so much that they're not able to grow it.
Yeah.
Time flies. They're literally in the business every day. And then they look and say, why are we stagnant? Why are we not growing? Often they have to let go. And the first thing to do is, are you really open to bringing in strategic partners to help you, especially in the back office? Because often we see business owners that are just amazing on the front end. They can sell, they're hustlers, they're just amazing. All that hard work, if they don't have the right partner on the back end, it's all for naught. They're gonna bleed out. They have so much waste just going. And they look at their profit margin saying, how am I not profitable here?
Yeah, all that effort.
And so it's talking to a business owner, helping them understand, listen, what got you to where you're at is not going to get you where you want to be. So what are you going to do different? If you don't make a change, you're going to keep hitting that glass ceiling because you can only do so much on your own. So what are you going to do different to take that big next step if you're really wanting to grow your business? And growing doesn't always mean revenue. It can be, I'm growing my bottom line because now I'm really focusing on all those expenses. I can do better. So I would say the number one challenge I see out there, and I even seen it with myself, is I have to stop being the single point of failure. What got me to where I was in the first couple of years was not going to get me where I wanted to be in years 3 and 4 and now going into 5. I had to make the change because I seen that trend. My revenue's right here. I grow, hit, back down. Why? Back, up, back down. And it's because there's only so much of me.
Yeah.
And as soon as I focus on growing the business, it goes up. But then I get pulled back into the business and also my revenue goes back down. Yeah. So it's all about finding that strategic partner and sometimes multiple. And I feel like we're blessed today in that you don't have small and mid-sized business owners that you don't have to hire a full-time marketing person. You don't have to hire a full-time salesperson or accountant or CFO. You are blessed to be in a day and age. It's the age of the fractional.
Yes.
So if you need 4 hours, that's all you pay for. You don't have to pay for 40.
Yeah. I tell our owners all the time, you know, you get access to a higher level professional than you otherwise would be able to afford simply because you pay for the time that your company needs, not hiring a full-time person that maybe you're not ready for in that position yet, you know? So,
right. And so often it's so unique to business owners, the thought of fractional. What is fractional? And I have to remind them, well, the attorneys out there, they're smart. They started a fractional business 100 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, so when you go to an attorney, it's a fractional attorney. You're just buying the time that you need. Mm-hmm. And so it's no different now with accounting, with CFO, with marketing, you know, strategic business coach. I could just go on. It's the age of the fractional. And it's amazing for business owners because business owners that would have never been able to go from that small to mid-tier, okay, because they would never have the capital to pull this off. Now they can do it because now they can have a fractional team around
them. Exactly. I think so much about business as, you know, it's so deep in psychology. And one thing I've learned along the way is a good takeaway is, you know, gamify everything, make it fun, make it a game. You know, you were doing your hands with the up and downs and it made me think of, you know, a lot of people nowadays love to do gaming. And if you think about it, when you're doing that, well, you go through so many levels of your game and you win. And what happens to continue on? You have to level up your character and you have to get new weapons, you know, or you have to, you know, you've got to add to your arsenal. And I think that's a perfect analogy to what you're talking about is gamify business, take the stress out of it, you know, use your data, make smart decisions, but gamify it and reduce the stress, make it more fun. Say, okay, I'm here. I've hit this ceiling. How do I need to level up? Who do I need on my team? How do I, as the owner, need to grow? And I think those are really useful ways to switch psychology to overcome those obstacles or know when to add to your team, whatever it is you need to do in a less like stressful way.
Yeah. I like that. No, I think that's a brilliant approach. I like the approach because it's all about, are you having fun?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How many business owners do you see that just so totally stressed and you're like, why are you doing this? Did you forget it's supposed to be fun? And I have a client out in California. I'm not a betting person, but every once in a while I'll make friendly, fun wager. And I had shared with her, I said, listen, I can't believe you were told by your CPA that you did not qualify for the employee retention tax credit.
Mm.
And she goes, yeah, I don't want to go down that path because it's just not worth it. I know I'm not qualified. I said, I tell you what. I'm going to bet you a steak dinner. and if I'm right, you buy me a steak dinner. If I'm wrong, I'll buy you one. She said, she laughed. She said, great, let's do it. She's getting over $1 million in ERC money. Mm-hmm. And she said it's the best investment she's ever done. She's like, what's a $40, $50 steak? You got me $1 million. But that's what it's about. Are you having fun? And I can tell by your demeanor, you're the exact same way as me, is I care about my clients to the point where I've had to set healthy boundaries because I feel like I'm so connected to them. And I got to go, okay, I can do this, this, and this, but I can't do this because you just can't. But I care so much about the clients, not just about the client, but about their families and stuff. I understand how important this is to them. This isn't just about money. Often it's about a legacy. They're trying to pass something on to their children. And it's so amazingly important. But having fun is critically important. It's kind of makes you want to go at it every day, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. I know. My team knows. I'm the queen of fun. I find my partner knows. Anytime, any meeting we have to, any travel we have to do, my job is to insert the fun. And she knows that. And she's good with it, you know. And we just had a meeting this week that if you had a button on your desk was the question. We always do a discussion topic. You had a button. What would it bring to your desk? And of course, I can never answer a question just normally because I love to live outside the box. And my button answer was, oh, well, when I'm bored in my day or I need a break, my button is going to transport me to whatever it is I feel is fun that day. You know, do I want to end up, we were talking about Florida before we got on. Do I want to end up at Universal and have some fun that day and come back to work? Or do I want to, you know, whatever, go out and play with my animals or whatever. But it's so important. I think it is very diminished that we can be serious business owners, but we can still search for fun. And it's incredibly important to reduce burnout. You were saying before, you were talking about looking for margin and profit in your company and feeling that payoff. I truly believe that when we go into a room and we just exude, you know, genuine fun and we don't come in at a high anxiety level, your frequency matters and you attract the business that you need and you don't have to do it in a desperate way. So although it might seem slightly off topic, actually like focusing on being relaxed and having fun and what that means to you, I think is actually a way to help your company grow. So with that, couple more questions for you and then we'll wrap up. And I know we've had a great conversation, but I love to do a financial facts segment. So the way that I ask this is either in your business as an owner or what you've seen with your clients because of what you do, what is a data point or two that you would suggest is a really healthy thing for owners to kind of really keep an eye on? You talked about like weekly metrics and KPIs. What is something they can take away that maybe they're not watching right now that you as a fractional CFO recommend that they take a look at and pay attention to?
I would say two things that just jump out there right away. And that is when it comes to tax credits and grant money available, on average, a small and mid-sized company in the United States leaves over $200,000 at the minimum, on average, on the table when it comes to tax credits and grant money. Every year, for example, there's over $1 billion in grant money that goes unawarded. Because, and that's either federal, state, or local. And the reason it goes unawarded is individuals don't know how to either apply for it.
Mm-hmm.
Or they don't even know it's there. And the same thing with tax credits. Individuals don't realize often doing the right things in order to qualify for these tax credits is not nearly as hard as you think. So what would it mean to a lot of the small business owners out there, even if they get a fraction of that? Get it? The play on fraction, fractional. Anyway, but what would it mean if you got $100,000 a year? So you're on the low end. What would that mean to your company if you had $100,000 on average in grant money and tax credits? This is free money that you could pour right back into your business. It's pretty amazing, but it's real. The second thing is I truly feel, you know, when you look at when it comes to a business plan, 80% of businesses don't have a business plan. And of the 20% that do, 80% of those don't follow it. So my challenge is, you know, if you look at faith isn't where you're at, it's where you're going. Where are you going? Is it documented? Let's take time. It's not expensive. It doesn't take a crazy amount of time. I bet you the average small business owner could put an amazing business plan together in one day. But now they have the roadmap for success. They know each quarter And then peeling back to every month, what do they have to be focusing on? What do they have to be doing in order to stay on track? Where are you going to be December 31st, 2025? It can't be in your head.
Yeah.
Piece of paper. I want to see it. So I believe just those two things alone, by following an amazing business plan and really taking time to think about tax credit and grant money, I believe any small business that does that, they're going to be crazy happy come December 31st, 2025.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes it's about accountability, right? Have that accountability partner. You have the plan, but who's bouncing ideas off with you when you're stuck or, you know, you feel like it's not going well. So one follow-up to that, because I love, this is why it's important, you know, to talk to other financial people and get those ideas out there. The tax credits, you know, that's usually going to be, you know, talk with your CPA, get informed, all those things. On the grants, are there certain places that you suggest people to look for what they qualify for? Where would they find those?
Yeah. So, and I want to go back to the tax credits. Power CFO, we ourselves, we don't do tax credits. I kind of look at it as, and I think you totally get this. We all have our specialty in finance and accounting, and tax credits are kind of special all themselves.
Yes.
I would advise individuals not to go to their local CPA because they're very limited sometimes what they know.
Sure.
There are firms out there that all they do is specialize is on tax credits. They're experts. That's all they do. I would go that far. And typically, every one of them, there's no out of pocket money up front. You pay them a percentage of what they get for you. That's not a bad deal. So that's what I would do with the tax credits. When it comes to grants, we actually, Power CFO, I'm not trying to solicit work out here, but we do grants. We have a strategic grant writer who in his 30 years of writing grant applications has been awarded over $500 million. That's crazy amazing.
Yeah.
So I would always, when it comes to tax credits, don't do it on your own, because what's going to happen? You're not going to be able to do it. You're going to get focused on your business. When it comes to grant money, I would find someone that's going to go out there and help you find the grants, help you write the grants, the applications, and then help you fulfill those grants. So you don't, we've seen individuals accidentally, not knowing, have expenses that they wanted to get reimbursed on a grant, and they weren't able to get reimbursed. So following the grant outline is critically important. We can help with that too. If not Power CFO, there's some engineering firms and stuff. They do a lot of this grant, they writing and stuff like that. But don't do it yourself. 95% of grant applications get rejected on day one because they weren't 100% completed accurately.
Right. You just get disqualified. Mm-hmm.
Right away. Right out the door. Yeah. Sure.
And the step one of knowing you need a grant writer, is that just as simple as go online, you know, to like a government website and filter and search what might be applicable to you to then say, I need a grant writer?
It is so hard because nothing's universal out there. So even when you go to the federal government, you have all these different agencies.
Sure.
And where they post the grants, they're in different locations. Even if you find them, they can be worded very complicated. So it's often almost like another language. I'm going to be very clear. So having someone that can really interpret what they're asking for is going to matter. But getting back to how do you find these grants?
Mm-hmm.
At the federal level, it can be challenging. At the state and local, it's even more challenging.
Yeah.
Because I don't know why, but state and local, where they even post these grant opportunities, you would have never thought to look there. They're not easy to find. So when we say we'll go help you prospect for grants, it's hard. And it's no different than, I always kind of share with folks, it's no different than the 1800s when you had individuals going out west to prospect for gold. It was hard. It's hard to find it. But once you find the gold, you're very, very happy. Same way with brands. It's not easy. It's not straightforward. But once you find it, it's amazing.
Okay. All right. So you're looking for that diamond in the rough, needle in a haystack kind of business. So I guess our takeaway there is get some help and make sure you're not, you know, spending too much time in the wrong direction. So
right.
Awesome. Okay. All right. Well, one more question for you, Shane, the power CFO. You know, what are you doing? You're the CFO. You're making the strategic partnership or plan for your company. What are you looking to do over the next couple of years?
So this, a light bulb went off in my head. And you and I spoke before about this. And you're amazing. You're like a year or two ahead of me on this. And I love it. So I love having this connection. I want to be that influencer of good. I was raised, if you do good, the money in this situation, it'll follow. Your business will grow if you're doing good. And so my goal is, how do I get out there doing stuff like this, or going and doing webinars, going to public speaking, whatever it takes to get out there and help educate, help be that goodness for these small business owners. So whether they directly can work with us, great. If not, if it's indirectly, but something I said was helpful, inspirational, that allowed a small business owner to really kind of grow their business down the road, that's what's exciting. So I definitely want to be that influencer, and how can I help?
Awesome. And are you looking to be like a certain size or so many employees, or is that just kind of comes with whatever naturally, you know, you happen to create?
You know, I think it's really important to have a business plan. So I believe that we're going to increase in size 50 to 100% every year by just doing all the right things. Now, I will say this. I think I'm going to be pleasantly surprised what is in store by doing good. And so often by doing that, your projected numbers, they get blown away.
Of course. Yeah.
And so I would love in the next 5 years, you know, we're already coast to coast when it comes to our reach, when it comes to providing outsource and fractional CFO. What I would like to do is just keep going down that path and creating raving fans. The best thing that can happen to me is when I have a client reach out to me and say, thank you. You went over and beyond. That makes my day more than often getting a big check in the mail. Like helping.
I love that. What a goal to aim for, you guys. Create raving fans. I think that's just such a fantastic tagline. You know, you should have that out on your social and all the things. Let's create raving fans. That's great. Awesome. Shane, thank you for being with us today. Tell us where we can find the Power CFO.
Yes. I made it really easy. So you can just go to www.thepowercfo.com.
Awesome. And I'm assuming you're on all the socials and, you know, anywhere anybody's going to be, they can find you at that tagline.
Absolutely. Yes.
Great. Awesome. Okay. All right. Shane Glavin, the Power CFO. I think this has been a really in-depth, fruitful conversation. Lots of takeaways for our other owners. You guys, you know, if you heard something you like, reach out, help yourself out, get some partners who care, are looking to create raving fans. And thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome. I appreciate you. Thank you.